Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 3rd of Jumad al-Ula 1447, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 25th of October 2025. Alhamdulillah, we just finished with our segment called Bilgi. We now get into our segment called Straight Talk. And this segment, our guest every week is Brother Ahmad Parak, who is a retired local councillor for this municipality of Durban, or, you know, the new name is Itekweni. And our brother is also quite involved in the kafan and the dafan issues of the Muslim community. And for the past 2 weeks, well, last week we couldn't do very much because Professor Abdul Qadir was discussing preparation for matric exams, because our matrics, that is the final year secondary school students, are, you know, currently busy with the exams. So Professor Abdul Qadir was sharing some tips with these students. So we couldn't do very much on the kafan and dafan issues. So Brother Ahmad Parak, who is in Cape Town this morning, will, you know, continue with that, because he has to finish that before we could return to our political issues. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners in a beautiful Western Cape, beautiful weather. Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, I hope that you have received your book that was delivered to you during the course of the week, Mawlana.
I don't know how you delivered it, unless it went to the school, because I didn't really receive anything personally.
Okay, because I know it, my nephew actually took it and he said he delivered it. So that's the information I received. But anyway, when I get back on Monday, inshallah, I'll double check for you, Mawlana.
Inshallah. So as you know, that you know, you didn't complete the protocols that has to be followed when somebody passes away in our family. There's still some very important issues that you have to discuss. So I think it would be wise, you know, to just get the listeners back on track, to brush over what you already discussed, and thereafter speak about what hasn't been discussed as yet.
Jimalana, first and foremost, first, you know, we need to thank our brothers and sisters, and they reward them and their families abundantly for the sacrifice and the service that this work is. It's a noble work that, you know, we take in the dafan and kafan. It is always, you know, you cannot take any shortcuts or any risk, because it's embarrassing before and for our community. Legal troubles under the South African law, and worst of all, losing the reward of whatever work we are doing. To protect this, the ummah on this, and the helpers and the team that, you know, assist us all hours of the night, Mawlana. You know, you don't get people that, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 in the morning, when you get a call, come and do a female's ghusl or a male's ghusl, you know, to leave that bed, come out and go to the hospital, pick up the body, or go to the home, pick up the body, bring it to the ghusl khana. You know, it's a noble work, you know. Allah reward all our males and female, all the helpers in our team, all over the country, that, you know, who does this work, Mawlana. So from now on, we have, last week we only spoke a little about, because of the time constraint, Mawlana. Now we into the graveyard. We load the body, Mawlana. Once the body is lowered, they don't put the tongue and groove, those timbers. Now we make it easier. We are putting three pieces of shutter board. So in no time we can put that and we start closing the cover. Now, Maulana, the Sunnah way of putting is firstly the three Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to put it three full hands into the cover. Now, that's where we are losing a lot now, Maulana. Nobody wants to dirty their hands. They only want to put it with the spray. Where we got the Sunnah way of doing it. But I respect the Somali brothers. They make a chain. They walk around 3-4 times around the Kaaba. In no time, you can give them the space. They're saying, no, we don't need the space. We will use our hand. They will go round and round and round, and they will put that sand in the Kaaba. In no time, they fill that Kaaba. Only the three way. They said, this is the Sunnah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to fill the Kaaba with our hand. Why lose that reward? So, after all that has been done, Maulana, is the important thing is, you know, after the dua, everything is done. There's now, instead of assisting in filling the cover, people are standing one side, they are talking on the, they are talking for them to few people who have, they have not met or whatever it is. But Kabristan is not a place for talking loud, some of them on the phone. They came for a maqsad to come in it, for the deceased, to assist in the Kabristan and, you know, take part in that janaza, but they don't do it today, Maulana. Your take on that, Maulana?
Yeah, I also observed that the elderly are usually, filling the qabr, because in the recent past, I've been to quite a few janazas, and the young people just want to be standing around and busy with their phones. And also, that with the hand, you also read the dua, minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Everybody should get that reward of, doing the sunnah way, putting with their hands and reading that dua, the first one, minha khalaqnakum. The second time you put sand with your hand, wa fiha nu'idukum. And then the third time, you say, وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after it was covered, he said, at the moment, the malaika, sitting the body up and they're going to start the question. And you should make that dua, اللَّهُمَّ ثَبِّتْهُ عِنْدَ السُّؤَالِ. Oh Allah, make him firm when he is being asked this question. Now you find there are people that are also practicing things that are new, but they're leaving out these established sunnah. That is the sad thing about this. Although at times you'll offend people by telling them, this year it was never the practice of the first three generations, never the practice of Rasulullah. It may be offensive to them. So instead of telling them that, at least tell them, right at the moment now, while we are walking away, the malaika bringing the body up in a sitting position, and they're going to start asking these questions, man rabbuka, and man rasuluk, and ma dinuk. They're going to ask, who is your Lord? Who is the messenger, your messenger? What is your deen? It just educate them on, what is authentic. And we don't have to tell them about what they're doing. And if, inshallah, eventually they will only stick to, the sunnah practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ji Maulana, another very important factor that I want to bring to your attention, and you want to give us the listeners an input on that. Maulana, after, normally after the 3 days dua they make, the sunnah is the 3 days. We believe in the 3 days and all that. Or some people also say the 40 days and all that. That's a separate issue. The important thing is, Maulana, a lot of them today need to go to alims and all. They are actually confused. They are like lost. Some of them, even I know a lawyer who lost his son, and thereafter he lost his wife. He's gone off his head, Maulana. So now they need counseling. Now that is an important factor we need to bring into our community. But if you got deen in you, you keep reading the Quran, you're reading, the hadiths and everything. So that fear is no more, is there. Now, there's no difference between us and the non-Muslim, they go away off their head. They go away to they need psychologists to come to assist them and everything. Now we getting to that mode. Now you can see a lot of people are like lost. Their business is they can't concentrate in the business and everything else. Molana, your take on that, Molana?
Yeah, people must realize, you know, what inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, we got no control. It is He who decides the day that we should, appear on the surface of the earth. And it is He who decides the day that we should depart from the surface of the earth. Because inna lillahi, indeed we belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and wa inna ilayhi raji'un, so we have to return back to our owner. You know, He created us for a better place. Yes, particularly if He created all mankind for a better place, that is Jannah. But there are conditions. You have to have iman to get that Jannah. So we as Muslims, we're fortunate that we have this kind of belief system. And this is why the belief system is there. To, guide your conduct, your attitude, the way you react to different issues in life. A Muslim is taught about the great, great reward of sabr. Indeed, the sabirun, they will be those who have sabr. They will be rewarded bi ghairi hisab, without any, measure. Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward them without measure. You know, when it comes, because fasting, Ramadan is the month of sabr also. You have to make a lot of sabr when you're fasting. That is why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, As-sabru li, that fasting is for me, I will reward. You don't mention you're going to get so many reward for one fast or whatever like that. You know, like for Salah, we do have those enumerations, so many rewards. If you read in Jama'ah, so many rewards, etc. But for fasting, Allah Azza wa Jalla says fasting because sabr is involved there. You know, with salah, yes, you do need sabr at fajr time, particularly in winter, asr time, you have to give up peak hour of business, etc. Now, this is it, you know, people need to learn what is sabr. And we have to understand that this is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla does as He pleases. Part of submission is submitting to the will and the desire and the decree, the decision of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is part of Iman. People have to understand this, and they have to understand that, you know, that every soul, likulli nafsin ajlum musamma, every soul has an appointed time. When that time comes, you know, it cannot be delayed, and it won't be advanced also. If a person, whether he, like some people, I know in my family, somebody once had the opportunity of going and teaching English in the UN schools. And the parents were making a big noise there in Palestine. You know, that's a war zone, they die. And I told them, you know what, if you lose your child there, you can be proud, man. Your child became shaheed. At not realizing that death is such a thing, this is why we have this belief. Because when the time comes for a man to go out on the battlefield, the fear of death must not prevent him. Because a Muslim believes that your time to die is appointed already. Whether you go out on the battlefield or whether you're sleeping under the blanket in your home, when your time for death comes, you are going to go. So there should be no fear about going out to battle, to protect your deen, to protect your iman, when the situation calls for it. Death, the fear of death must never be an obstruction because of your belief. لِكُلِّ نَفْسْ أَجَلْ مُسَمَّى. Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu fought in every battle after he became a Muslim. But he passed away on his bed, and it grieved him that, you know, despite fighting in every battle, he has to pass away on his bed. And the other Sahaba, you know, they asked him, you know, why are you appear to be in a state of grief and sorrow? He said, because I didn't expect to pass away lying on my bed. You know, I expected to pass away on the battlefield. I took part in every battle. He led the Muslim army, you know, the conquest of Persia, the conquest of Rome. He had a great role to play in that. And then the Sahaba explained to him, you see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you the title Saifullah, the sword of Allah azza wa jalla. Had the enemy killed you on the battlefield, they'll make a mockery. They'll start saying, we kill the sword of Allah. That is why Allah azza wa jalla is taking your life while you in bed and not on the battlefield. But you'll get the reward of a shaheed. And another thing is, you see, losing for children, or we won't say children, even adults, teenagers, etc., for them to lose their parents is easier than the parent to lose the child. But those parents that are losing children, you know, they must take solace in the fact that that child passed away masoom. That child is destined for Jannah without any question. That child is going to go to Jannah. But the child is not going to enter Jannah. The child is going to stand at the door of Jannah and request Allah Azza wa Jalla, I am not going to enter until my parents come in with me. So losing a child, you know, although it is extremely painful for a parent to lose a child, is far more difficult than for a child to lose a parent. So although it's very painful, they must take solace in the fact that the place in Jannah is now reserved, because the child is not going to enter Jannah. You know, that is in authentic hadith. The child will say, no, I'm not entering. I want my parents to come. So, you know, the basic thing is, we must believe in what we say. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And indeed, we will have to return to Him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is merciful. We go on making dua for that person. We don't break our contact with the person upon death. Islam is not like that. Islam teaches the concept of isal al-thawab. Give charity. You keep in contact with the person. You could read Quran. There are ulama that give jawaz. Even Allama ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah say you can read Quran. Dua. You could do all these things to maintain a relationship with them. Even after their demise, people came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions like, you know, my parent couldn't perform Hajj. Can I perform Hajj? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, if you were owing another person a debt and, your parent and passed away, would you pay the debt? Yes. So paying the debt of Allah Azza wa Jalla is more important. There's many things that we could do. You know, a simple thing like planting a tree. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that nobody plants a tree. And if a bird benefits from it, from building a nest, or insects benefit from it, from, you know, making a home in the tree, a man benefits from it, from the shade and the fruit, the birds and other animals benefit from the shade and the fruit, etc. For every creature that benefits from the tree, the person who planted the tree gets sawab. You can plant a tree for isal of sawab. When you're planting the tree, Ya Allah, for the sawab of this tree, you know, you get sawab because of all the different creations benefiting. So many different creations. Send it all to the deceased. So there's many things we can do for the deceased after their demise also. So, you know, people should take solace in these practices. So you can carry on with our protocols now.
Jimalana, now the most important other aspect is when we got all these old age homes. Personally, I'm not in favor of all these old age homes are popping up all over the country. Now, I've been speaking to some ulama, they're saying the time has changed. Now, we need these old age homes because there is no, the youngsters, the children are putting their parents in these old age homes. Now, Quran also, you'll quote the verse just now, Maulana, what the Quran says about you cannot tell oof to your parents, but yet you want to put your parents in this old age home. Now, we have seen over the years, and you know, with the experience I have in this world, I've seen parents have, they say, the mother is in the beachfront, they say, Ma, we have put you into a beautiful one-bedroom apartment overlooking the sea, the samandar. You can see the ships are coming. You can see the sea on a day-to-day basis. But yet the son don't come and visit her on a weekly basis. That's number one. Number two is some of them are so vulnerable, they don't even know how, you know, they have a Monday to Sunday, they put all the medication, they put the wrong medication in the wrong compartment. So they take their medication. We have seen, and they took medication, and some of them even fell down out of from the bed. We had to send an ambulance to take them, but the son came to know later. But if the son or the family member who has put them there, they need to look after these elderly parent, a single mom, or his mother is there, or his father is in an old age home. They don't even go and visit one another. That's one. Secondly, a lot of them told me that, you know what, my son used to come big night here to see me, bring some things for me. Every day he used to bring biryani or whatever food for us and all that. He comes for the last three, four years. Both the years, I haven't even seen my son. Now, how do you put your parents in an old age home, but you don't even look after them? I've seen over the years, Maulana, the one son is living on fourth floor, the mother is living on the third floor. He doesn't even come from upstairs to downstairs to see his parents. After a week, we have to break the door and then take the mother out. Now, things like this, Maulana, it is very, very disturbing to the community. And furthermore, if you go to this old age home, and I've been to one or two of them where we took out bodies from the old age home, and there was an old man standing, sitting one side. Then I made salam with him. You know, I always like to talk to people. So I made salam with him. I said, what are you doing here, Mota? He's telling me, why is that, make here? What can I tell you? Dukan, car. He said he had everything. He says, I had two sons. And you know what? One day they said, Papa, we want to take you for a drive. And they came and left me in this place here. And this is where my halat is today. I gave my son before I came. And they brought me into this dump here. I gave my son the business, the house, the car, everything. I said, you know what? I will be gone one day. I'd rather give you when I'm hired. I had to give you everything. By giving everything, they went and took him and put him in the old age home. I said, recently, about a couple of months ago, that one mother, they took the mother for a drive and they came and left them to one of the old age home. They even had the audacity to tell the supervisor, Morana, that, you know what, give my mother the best treatment. Don't try. Allah has blessed us with a lot of money. Give her whatever she requires. She needs anything, you don't have to worry. You just send us the bill and we'll make sure that bill is paid. But putting a mother, Allah has blessed you with everything, why do you put your mother in an old age home? Well, this topic is very, very vast. So, you know, I don't think we don't have too much time. Your input on that, we've got a few minutes left.
No doubt, you know, people, they don't realize the thawab that, you know, one would get by serving the parents. And no matter how much we serve our parents, we will never be able to pay them back for what they have done for us. You know, a man carried his mother on her back, on his back, and made tawaf. And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu, I don't know whether it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, did I pay my mother back, you know, for whatever service she has rendered to me during my lifetime? And, you know, I can't clearly remember whether it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who said, you know what, just for that one sigh that she made while she was in a state of labor, the labor pains. You haven't even paid her back for one sigh. And putting parents, you know, this is something that is difficult to comprehend. How can people go and leave their parents there deceptively, telling them, I am going to take you for a drive and go and dump them there? There is no doubt that this system, the capitalist system, is as such that where both parents have to work, and you know, the grandmother or the grandfather is in the house, and there is no way for anyone to take care. And you know, if both parents have to work because the salary of the husband is not enough to cover all expenses, rent, lights, water, food, children's school fees, their stationery, their uniform, their medical fees, and then if he's got a car, he's got petrol to worry about, maintenance of the car. In most cases, in the working class, you know, people, men cannot manage with all their expenses. Their wives, because of this capitalist system, their wives are forced to go and work also. Now, in that case, you know, if they do it in a decent way, talk to the parent that, listen, you need a caregiver here, full. You know, if the parent has reached that state, like my mother lives with me, she doesn't know whether it is day or night. You know, she'll ask me, is it daytime now? Is it nighttime? I stay up every night until 1:30, because between 1 and 1:30, she gets up to have a meal. She doesn't know whether it's breakfast time or supper time. So, you know, you'll get people with parents in that situation where they cannot have a caregiver. And because of that, because of the situation compelled them to go and leave their parent in a nursing home or old age home. But they're still visiting their parent all the time, and they explain to the parent, this is the situation. Because some of these homes, you know, they just take all the parents' grant away, and you know, with that grant, they can keep them and they get cover other expenses with zakah. So under the, you know, in that case, that situation, it is understood. But where people feel their parents are a nuisance and in a deceptive way go and leave them, that is just not accepted Islamically. Definitely not. You know, a decent Muslim won't do that. Now, as you say, this topic is a long topic. We will continue with it, inshallah. You know, probably, next week, Professor would be on, the week after next, because I see we've gone 5 minutes beyond our time. So we will have to terminate here. But Jazakumullah khair al-jaza, you know, for the very valuable information that you share with us every Saturday morning. Inshallah, we will continue again next week because, you know, we have to get on with our next segment.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.